We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door. What a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart, you're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested podcast, coming to you live after the Thunder go up 2-0 in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs, 124-92. A little different than the last one, as the Thunder absolutely blitz the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. I got my guy, J.D. Silva, in the house.
Fellas, holy hell.
I've also got Justin Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
We will have Taylor Peterson here in a moment. I think he's having some technical difficulties.
Impeccable
right now.
Impeccable timing. He disappeared right when it started.
I think like Christ used his MacBook whenever he was on Earth. Like that's how old that thing is. He needs to get that thing updated. The Thunder win 124-92, go up 2-0 in the first round of the playoffs. Game three will be Saturday afternoon in New Orleans. We'll have a post game for you after that one as well. Before we dive into tonight's show, we are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the two best fast casual restaurants in Oklahoma City, Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC, both absolutely delicious. If you were at the game tonight, hope you hit one of those two up. Chat's already going crazy. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this late Wednesday night. If you are in the chat, drop that like. Leave a comment. Go repost the video. If you're watching the YouTube video on Thursday when you're not working because you're too hyped from this Thunder win, appreciate that. Also drop a like, leave a comment. And if you are listening to the podcast version of this, we really appreciate that as well. Go drop a 5-star on that. And you guessed it, leave a comment. Justin, JD, holy cannoli. What a game.
What a game.
Holy cannoli.
First 2 minutes felt like it was going to be something. It completely shifted. Let's dive in and break this one down. I want to start with just a quick game synopsis. We can kind of do this collectively, if you want, a collaboration event. A quick game synopsis. I'll kind of lead us off here because I kind of just did with those first 2 minutes of the game. Very clear from the tip, the Pelicans wanted to try to establish physicality and dominance inside and went to Jonas Valanciunas. I think Jonas had like 11-5 in the first 3 minutes of the game. And I think collectively the NBA world said, Jet's too small. Jonas is going to change the tenor of this entire series. That lasted about 3 minutes, Justin.
If that. I think it was I tweeted this from the account, a tale of two sinners, to start the game because you had the Pelicans force feeding Valanciunas inside, and then you had Chet hitting trailer threes on the other side. And I think that, right, that is the matchup. And you can bemoan Valanciunas' size, and you can talk about how he gets more rebounds, and you can talk about how he can back Chet down for 22 seconds of the shot clock. But as Daigneault said, those are the trade-offs. And it's very clear the Thunder feel A-OK with those trade-offs. So no matter what Shaq says on the TNT pregame show, no matter what the national media narrative is, no matter what people on NBA Twitter say, like, the Thunder are very comfortable with that trade-off. And tonight, I think that that showed itself in Chet kind of went off. And there was multiple times where Valanciunas tried to back him down and didn't. Did he get a lot of points and a lot of rebounds? Sure. And they lost by 30. So congrats, I suppose.
Jonas was a minus 14 in the game, which, shout out to him. That's the best plus minus of the starters for the Pelicans. meanwhile, Chet Holmgren was a game high, get this, plus 32.
Insane.
That is a net difference of 46 points. So continuing on this synopsis of the game real quick, JD. Started off as the Jonas show, very short show, as like a YouTube short. the Chet full length started right after. How else would you summarize this game?
I would summarize it as shaking off any jitters they may have felt from the previous game. I think the logical conclusion to make from that first game was that, okay, both teams just shot poorly. They're both going to come back to the median in this game. What really happened is that the Thunder played like themselves, and the Pelicans just had no way to stop it. After that first 90s Shaquille O'Neal run by Jonas Valanciunas in the first like 2 minutes of the game. Like, from that point on, the Thunder played their game, and the Pelicans had no choice but to just lay down and die a slow death throughout three quarters. And that started in the first quarter, like we were just discussing. It was all Chet early, and it was a blast. I don't know if we want to do any superlatives now, but was this the best game of his career? One of them, obviously.
I think considering stakes,
yeah,
probably the best game of his career.
Yeah, he was sensational. Sensational.
One of my favorite plays tonight from him, and there's a lot to choose from. Punching Brandon Ingram in the liver and then dunking it like he's prime Shaq was a top tier moment for me.
Yeah, the drop step afterwards.
I think that there's a lot of guys that after that would have happened, like maybe you lay it in, maybe you dunk it like gently given the circumstances. Not Chet. Brandon Ingram is on the ground gasping for air and Chet had no mercy.
I did love
that. Raise the roof.
I love that the broadcast did say, looks like Brandon Ingram got hit in the liver.
Yes.
Didn't go with groin, stomach, liver. Like Kevin Harlan, how do you know it was the liver, brother? It might have been the kidney.
Chet might have been
the stomach.
Giving Brandon Ingram cirrhosis.
I got to give a shout out to Kevin Harlan was awesome tonight.
He's a legend.
Jamal Crawford, low key, like really good on the call. I love Jamal Crawford.
Agreed.
I absolutely do not love Reggie Miller.
Also agreed.
Reggie Miller with the line of the night. I think Brandon Ingram's found something here by going to the mid range.
Down by 14.
Yeah. Reggie, you mean the thing Brandon Ingram's done for a decade? Go to the mid range? That's what he found tonight? In the year of our Lord, 2024? Wild.
My favorite was the 27 times he said Holmgren.
Well, the official called him Gilchrist.
Gilchrist.
I was like, man, get this asshole out of here. I think to sum up the synopsis of the game, JD kind of hit it on the head as far as there's my catchphrase. Someone
there it is.
At me. Can I get a ding, please?
Yes.
Thank you. But, JD, you killed it with the fact that they got the jitters out. And the Thunder just proved the offensive system works. And I thought, even though the Pelicans shot better and scored more points. Did they score more points? 92? Did they have 92 in game one? Wasn't game one 92, 94?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, they're averaging brutal. 92 points in this series.
Good math. Well done.
Yeah, that was an easy one for me. They're proving who they are, right, on the biggest stage. And I thought the Thunder, I don't even know how to summarize. They were just badass tonight. They were just badass. It was incredible. Let's dive deeper into this one. But first, we'll go to our first break of the night. On the other side, we will do a little more of a deep dive into this game. We'll be right back.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we are back. Gentlemen, if you had to sum up this game in like three plays, like the three pivotal plays that describe this game tonight, which ones would you choose? Justin, do we have to go with the Chet punch to the liver? Is that one of the three?
Feels like a good one, in my opinion. There's 37
each game that, yeah, I know tonight feels like a lot, but I feel like each game there's like these moments that kind of turn the game. For me, game one was the J Will corner three on Valanciunas in the stare down. Like that was a pivotal moment. The J Dub Jonas tie up was huge. Like, what were those moments for game two for this team?
I'm thinking of there's a cluster of moments of players, Thunder players screaming. The first one was J-Dub, I think, stealing the ball from CJ McCollum and then getting drawing a foul and then just laying on the ground, screaming up in the air.
And barking.
Like, that was insane. That was the one that jumped out to me early. Then there was SGA got pretty fiery there at the end.
Yeah. The end of the third quarter. Yeah.
Yes.
Blew past everybody, got a layup. Came down, was screaming at Dub, and then got the offensive foul call.
The one I was going to say, Shea alone probably has 20 different moments tonight. The one that stood out to me is that shot on the baseline over the backboard on, I think Ingram was guarding him over the backboard. And on the replay from the baseline camera, you see him turn and look, and he kind of like makes this face, like where his eyes get real wide and you get like a half smirk. I feel like that's so, that's like peak emotion from Shea in most games. He's usually so calm and cool and, you know, kind of stone faced. To see him kind of be like, yeah, you just saw that. Everybody just saw that. Like, that felt like Shea was in his bag and he knew it.
Welcome back to
me away from this podcast.
I actually think one of the moments for me might come at the conclusion of the game when there was no more basketball being played, as the entire team mob Shea for the TNT interview, post-game interview, and Chet steals the microphone to make a proclamation to the world. Are you drinking milk out of a water bottle?
Milk? No.
What was in that?
Not milk.
It looks like water, my guy.
Maybe it's just my camera.
Jacob is stunned right now. I was tripping
for... Is it water?
Yeah.
It did not look like water.
I'm going to do a whole post-game show just drinking out of a Brahms half gallon.
Please, God, that'd be
incredible. Straight from the bottle.
Do it with eggnog.
Yeah, well, hey, don't tip me.
Chet commandeers the TNT microphone, makes a proclamation to the world that this guy here won't say it, but he's the MVP, crowning Shea as his MVP, which is just incredible.
Chef's kiss.
For me, that has to be a moment of the game. The epitome of the connectedness of this team. Like, I can't think of a better example. Those guys are tight-knit. They love each other. They play for each other. Just an incredible, incredible group of guys. The chemistry absolutely translates to the court. It's awesome to watch. I think that has to be one of our moments.
I think that's
especially
good one.
Especially Shea's look afterwards. I think the Ringer NBA show Twitter account posted that. Like, just chef's kiss. It's amazing.
New meme absolutely. Template just dropped.
100%. Let's take a little bit of a different route here. Adjustments. What adjustments did you see from either team from game one to game two? And we can also talk, what are some adjustments you expect to see from game two as we transition to New Orleans in game three? Because for the Pelicans, something absolutely has to change, because if they continue to average 92 points a game in this series, when the Thunder come back to OKC, it's only one team coming back here, because it's going to be a sweep.
First thing I noticed, and it wasn't until later in the game, and somebody sent this to me, Kenrich Williams for the Thunder played 3 minutes there at the end of the game compared to Jay Will's 16. I think that was significant. I thought Jay Will had a huge impact yet again on this game. We talked about it after game one. In his limited minutes, he had a huge impact yet again tonight. He's battling down low Valachunas while Chet was in quote-unquote foul trouble, even though one of those fouls got rescinded.
Yep.
And the Thunder did not go to their small ball tonight, their small ball lineups. And I think that's something we'll see more of moving forward. I find it interesting. Curious your all's thoughts. We still have not seen the Chet J. Will double big lineup. Would not be surprised to see Dagnall pull that out when the Thunder are on the road.
Interesting. I go the opposite direction. I think we're more likely to see the no Chet, no J. Will, all small lineup going into game three. Instead of going into game two, I thought we would get the double big. Now, I think the odds of that lineup getting played has gone down significantly, and you're more likely to see the super small lineup. Hell, the Pelicans went to the super small lineup tonight because nothing else worked.
Yep.
Yep. Jonas Valanciunas has 0% chance. I mean, here's the problem for the Pelicans. They have Valanciunas and CJ McCollum on defense.
Right.
That's the defense. CJ is absolute food. Like, CJ is like a grand feast and the Thunder are a bunch of hobbits. Like, they're just going to go ham.
Hey, our guy Jonathan in the chat brings up a great point. The Thunder did still technically go with a small ball lineup of J-Dub, SGA, Kaysen, Dort, and Joe. It just was not the quote-unquote small ball lineup that we've become accustomed with Kenrich. Right.
I could see Dub getting some run at the five whenever they have Larry Nance Jr. in there.
Yeah.
I think that I think that's an adjustment you may see.
Who went out with an ankle injury, I think I saw. Ankle.
Yep.
Something to keep an eye on.
This
and then,
conversation about J. Will is a good segue to one of our super chats from El Sombra Regio 7, who says J. Will can also play Jonas off the floor. He handles his muscle a bit and still an outside threat. Mark ain't worried about Jonas at all. Thunder and four.
Thunder and four, baby.
I love it. I think he's been awesome. I think we talked on the pre-series show of like who's going to be that guy off the bench that comes in and makes a difference, and I think so far you might have to give that award to J. Will
because J. Will's been awesome, dude.
He's been really really great for the
agreed.
Isn't it 0 points tonight for him? One rebound, one assist, but I thought he was super impactful. Thunder bench tonight was Joe with 8, Wiggins with 6. Queso with 2. Queso, 2 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound. Sorry, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a plus 19. What other adjustments did you see from game 1 to game 2, or are you expecting from game 2 to game 3?
Is it an adjustment to say that, you know, just hit the open shots? Is that,
I was going to make that nice joke. He beat me to it. Yeah.
Right.
Not only did they hit them, but I thought they generated a lot better offense tonight. I thought the offense was much quicker. I'd be interested to see what the pace was in game 1 versus game 2, Silva, because yeah. I feel like just the eye test and the vibe test tonight felt like a much faster paced game.
Yeah. An actual adjustment that I noticed and that I assume will continue is they kind of shrunk the airspace around Trey Murphy. He took half as many threes as he did. Last game, he took 12 last game, 6 this game. It was 2 of 6. Like, he was largely ineffective, I think it's fair. And that's
Herb Jones got him all tonight.
Yeah, talked about it in the last post game. Like, that was kind of an anomaly, him going off. And he was 5 of 12, just bombing away. And he was a big reason why that game was even close. So if you don't get that production out of him, where do you go? I don't know. Yep. It's like the talent for both teams is kind of floating to the top, and the Thunder just have a lot
totally.
More.
I noticed a friend of the podcast, Eric Parker, tweeted this out, and I think Mike Prada, national NBA writer and podcaster, he mentioned this as well. But Derek mentioned the Thunder have punished Herb Jones trying to hang around Shea post screen all night. Lou Dort has rolled that often. I thought that was a huge adjustment, just trying to switch the defender on SGA, bringing up different ball screens, whether it was Chet on the pick and roll or whether it was Lou Dort. We've seen that with Isaiah Joe in the past. It wasn't so much tonight. They did a great job of getting Herb off of Shea, and that just freed up the offense completely, not even just for Shea, who obviously had a fantastic game. We'll get into that. But it just opens up the offense so much. And so Mark's not rotations necessarily, but his adjustment there I thought was huge.
It totally unlocked the game for Shea, and not like he was contained in the last game, but it's obvious that what the Pelicans game plan was not working. And that if you can't, like, Herb on Shea could be something, but Daigneault and the Thunder didn't allow it to be anything. And Shea was just absolutely feasting, getting to whatever spot he wanted on the floor. And bad things happen when you let Shea get to his spots. And we saw that tonight. It was an A-plus performance from Shea, worthy of Chet stealing the mic. And if I might add, are we really going to be scared of a guy named Herbert? Let's just be real.
Yeah. Can't let a guy named Herbert.
No, I don't.
What do we say about Herbert?
I'm not going to say it.
Slippery slope there, Jacob.
Careful.
No, I'm not going to say it.
I want to talk about Josh Giddey.
Yes,
I thought Josh Giddey had a nice game tonight. We talked after the first game where he didn't have a stellar game, only played 20 minutes in game 1. I forget which one of you Yahoos had the hot take of how many.
Taylor. This guy, Taylor. Josh Hader, Josh Giddey hater on the podcast, and I was.
How many
I
minutes
was all
did you
it.
Predict? 30.
I think I said 30
something.
You're correct. He was 25
tonight.
Yeah,
And
hey, I like 26. Let's round up.
26 Perfect. Is what ESPN says. 26 minutes tonight for Josh Giddey in a blowout where he sat the end of the game. This was a close game. That number could easily have been 30, like you predicted, Taylor. 4 of 9 shooting, 1 of 3 from behind the arc, 6 boards, 3 assists, a plus 28 on the evening. Really nice minutes from Giddey. Felt like he was being aggressive to get to the basket. He scored in like the first minute or two, which was a massive improvement over game one. You love to see those types of minutes from Giddey. And when that happens, it gets a lot scarier for opponents against this Oklahoma City squad. Like, I think he is often the weak point in the starting lineup and gets exploited as such. We talked about that a little on the first show too, where game one really didn't feel like the Pelicans played him off the floor or forced him into a weird situation. He just didn't have a great game. So credit to him in game two. Hey, a
bunch of Oklahoma City fans in Taylor's house right here. Now.
Rumble is, yeah. Rumble's fired up.
Credit to him for recognizing that opportunity and taking full advantage of it tonight.
Great bounce back game from Josh. I thought a great bounce back game. One adjustment from game one to game two that I saw on the Pelican side was they had a pretty extended stretch in the second quarter where they played zone against Oklahoma City. I don't recall seeing a bunch of zone in game one.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I don't recall seeing a lot of zone. They did run it game two. And to the Thunder's credit, the Thunder matched and ran some zone in the third quarter whenever the Pelicans were trying to like beat the ball inside to Jonas again. And I think it resulted in like a turnover on the first possession that the Thunder ran zone. So both teams mixing up the defensive coverages a little bit. I also felt like tonight, maybe a little more than game one, the Thunder really hunted CJ defensively.
100%.
Like, yeah. And then the last one, we kind of talked about this in game one, so I don't know how much of a quote-unquote adjustment it is. And I think the Pelicans had to go away from it pretty quickly because Chet just absolutely busted their ass. I wish I had like a little drawing board on the pod. Ooh, where we could
get
do
the
like
clipboard out.
JJ Redick and LeBron James over here.
Corner. Yeah. No. The Thunder early would run Shea or Dub with the ball, the Chet screen. And as the ball handler came off the screen, Valanciunas would pressure the ball. Chet would pop to the top of the key. And whoever was originally on the ball, whether that be Trey Murphy or Herb Jones or Brandon Ingram, would go back to the ball as well. And they would double Shea or Dub. I thought early on, Shea very happily accepted the double team, pulled the ball out just a little bit and hesitated just long enough so his team would have a 4-on-3 advantage and just let them cook. And I thought for the Thunder's game plan and for Shea to have the patience with that, when you have a superstar, they can win you a game one of two ways. Number one is they just whoop everybody's ass, right? And Shea kind of did that tonight. But number two is they command so much attention that they allow the rest of the team to play in an advantage. And I felt like Shea really allowed that to happen in the first quarter to where the Pelicans had to readjust. But anyways, they'll double off the screen. Jonas can't guard in space. So when Chet pops, they are bringing someone from the opposite side of the court up to the top of the key to guard Chet so Jonas can drop back to the paint because Jonas can't guard anything outside of 10 feet. The Thunder recognized that early. Chet would catch and drive, catch and swing it, or catch and shoot very quickly and made the Pelicans play in a quicker rotation and then attacked those rotations. I thought the tactical switch by Mark to know that those double teams were coming, accept them, and then beat them at their own game outside of that double team. Great execution by the team and great game plan by the coaching staff. I'm interested to see how that chess match will continue moving forward because the Pelicans, if Chet has another 15-point first quarter on Saturday because Jonas can't get out there and contest that shot, Like, I don't, we might be approaching like Jonas's unplayable territory.
A lot of fantastic points there, honestly.
Thank you.
And I think what we saw the Thunder do is what they have done best for so long this season is sending those off, leaning into that off ball movement with the cutting. And like kind of going back to your point on Shea, kind of want to harp on that a little more because you mentioned the two ways superstars can impact the game. Shea is so great at doing both, being so effective in both those situations. I even tweeted out in the first half that, the first quarter that I was hoping that kind of to see Shea get it going a little bit more for them to go to Shea because it is so important for Shea to get his shot going for him to find that confidence. I don't think we necessarily saw that in that first game, but he was impacting the game on so many other levels, just like you mentioned. And I think the epitome of that, I can't remember if it's the first or second quarter, but it was the first half where he was doubled, just as you mentioned, and he makes just an absolute dime down low to Lu Dort in the paint. Lu Dort misses the layup. None other than Chet is there to clean up the rebound and gets a two-hand slam. But that is the epitome of Thunder basketball and how they're going to be able to continue to just dissect this Pelicans defense. So that was the play that came to mind when you were mentioning that. And then, obviously, we saw Shea get to his spots. We'll talk about the big three here after the break, but could not agree anymore.
Any other adjustment thoughts before we move on, guys?
I don't have any big brain ideas like you two just had necessarily. I do have small brain ideas, such as following up on a hot take. I think an adjustment from New Orleans could be, hey, maybe Brandon Ingram hit some shots. Probably not going to happen, and I'm probably going to win land in a good spot with my hot take, which was that J-Dub would score more points than Brandon Ingram throughout this series. He's on pace right now just to, rub that one in to Nick, who doubted me.
Brandon Ingram, a free throw merchant?
Is he? I don't know. I feel like are you allowed to be a free throw merchant if you're like not that good?
Don't you have to like actually get fouled?
Incredible.
Let's head to break on the other side. We will continue discussing this awesome game two. We'll be right back. And we are back. It's a Wednesday night, gentlemen. You know what Wednesdays mean? It's time for that Spark of the Week.
Yes, spark joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint, Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger, pink fries, frozen peach club special, which I'm sure a lot of you are trying before these games. It's always a long line. And rotating custard flavor of the month. Located directly west of the Paycom Center, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game. We all know two scoops or even three scoops of custard is better than one, so be on the lookout for Spark number 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills later this spring and summer. Should we now do some Sparks of this week?
I think we should. If you're in the chat, you want to get your Spark of the Week in, just make sure you tag it with Spark of the Week and tell us who has been the spark either in these first two playoff matchups or who you think will be the spark going into the weekend. I will start us off if you gentlemen do not mind.
Please.
Guy that we have not talked about yet on this show, like a whole lot, who I think, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can interpret the Spark of the Week. I'm going with Lu Dort. Lu Dort, you want to talk about a guy who rises to the level of the competition, a guy who elevates himself when the lights are the brightest, a guy who just flat out does not give a shit and will fist fight you in an alleyway.
And still can hit outside three-point attempts.
Four of eight tonight for Dort? Is that correct?
Four of eight from the floor, four of six from behind the arc.
Four of six correct. From behind the arc, one rebound, two assists. He had 15 points. But more importantly, I tweeted it earlier. He's got Brandon Ingram just in hell. Like, just straight up, like Brandon Ingram is tied up to some chains, to some infernal machine. as the devil with his goatee and his suit just laughs maniacally in the background.
That was super specific.
Very detailed.
Yes. I mean, this dude is in hell. The offensive awesome. Stuff is like an added bonus, but what Lou was doing on that end of the court has absolutely sparked the rest of the team.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I mean, am I taking this to a dark place? You're freaking right. I'm taking this to a dark place.
What I was thinking,
the Thunder did that first. So
what I was thinking in the first half after Dort hit one of his mini threes, can you imagine Thunder 1.0 with Lou Dort instead of Tabo Sefolosha?
They might have a title
because
yeah,
he does everything Tabo brought to that team and more. Or like in, I guess, do you want to call it Thunder 1.5? With Andre Roberson, like he feels,
yeah, I don't know.
Like
Andre Roberson was insane defensively.
He was insane, but
so is Lou Dort.
The offense that he's unlocked is so special in combination with what he brings on the defensive end that he's unlike anybody the Thunder have ever had.
And just his discipline has been so much better this year. There was a play, was in the first quarter. Whenever they were busting that double team, the ball swung to him on the corner, kind of right at the break. And he had already hit one, and he held it for just a moment before he swung it to the deep corner for somebody else. I forget who hit the three there, but just beautiful basketball. Lou Dort is your spark of the week. He has lit the spark and ignited all of hell behind him. We need a shirt of Lou Dort with like some devil horns and a pitchfork and like a pentagram on his chest that says,
that's
welcome
Justin's
to hell,
music.
Buddy.
That's easy. Justin's music.
Easy.
Sure, a lot of Oklahomans would buy that shirt. Also, shout out to Reggie Miller. He said, Lou Dort making threes is like Reggie. Finding loose change in the sofa because it's not something he does very often.
To the guy that shot 39.6% on like six attempts a game this year.
This is probably Reggie Miller's first game watching the Thunder.
This might be Reggie Miller's first game watching basketball.
Yeah, it's bad. Thank God that Jay crossover was there.
You missed it earlier. We talked about how awesome Jamal was and how horrible Reggie is.
Good.
My spark of the week is
what the dog doing?
And by that I mean all the dogs, J-Dub and J-Will, the fans, the barking before the game, the three of you idiots wearing the shirts that I designed, arena embracing it, and the staff. Like I heard tonight they were showing dogs on the Jumbotron. Like the pervasiveness of that is just fantastic.
They're leaning into it. It's incredible.
It's so good.
100%.
Hey, let me tell you guys something. When they come back from game four and folks meet them at the airport, they're going to wake some people up in Oklahoma City because it's going to sound like the whole goddamn OKC animal shelter got
loose. We should literally partner with an animal shelter and just give everyone a dog that comes to the airport.
It's incredible.
Good idea. Bring them out.
Can you imagine the content?
Who let the dogs out?
All these dogs behind the fence at the airport. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Spark of the
JD
week.
JD Taylor, we got Oop, sparks?
Yeah, can I just... Let's go with old bees here from the chat. Spark of the week, Gilchrist. No.
Yeah, typical NBA refs. That was
I like awful. To think he was imagining Michael Kidd Gilchrist, but I also like to imagine that somewhere like playing in like a second tier European league, there's a player that just goes by Gilchrist, like single name. I am Gilchrist.
Or his first name is Gil and his last name is Christ. It's Christ, but it's pronounced Christ. Gilchrist.
This is my brother. This is my brother Jesus.
Spark
incredible.
This is what happens when we are allowed to post game like at midnight.
It is midnight. Wow. How about that? My spark of the week was going to be J-Dub and his constant like firing up of the crowd. But I feel like Justin kind of just did that. So I'm going to go with good old Abe Lincoln himself, Vampire Hunter. Chet Holmgren.
Do you like that?
That
was a great tweet, Justin.
That was a great tweet.
Great tweet.
I just think Chet is going to prove a lot of people wrong throughout the entire playoffs. I think he is kind of the capstone to this identity the Thunder have built. Showed out tonight in a gigantic way, and I think he's going to keep doing that. Like even against Jonas, by the way, he was defending him in the post pretty well in certain times. And this is like the weakest version of Chet that we will get. I think my cat just opened the door to my office.
The cats are going crazy. The dogs are going crazy.
Bark at it. Heads are falling off.
Well, hold on.
Oh, JD's well, gone.
It's a good transition to my spark of the week. I have Aaron Wiggins. I've been clamoring for it for like the past couple of months. Play Aaron Wiggins more. Gordon Hayward, I understand he was fine. I understand what Mark says, that he provides size in those smaller lineups, and he can play defense, and he can create for others. But Aaron Wiggins makes so much more happen when he is on the basketball court. And I just do not understand, especially in a playoff environment, why Gordon Hayward is taking minutes away from Aaron Wiggins. I want to say that here and now. I want it to be known. Aaron Wiggins deserves all of those minutes. He should be playing more. It's inexcusable that Wiggins does not play in the third quarter. I understand he starts the fourth. I understand he played the majority of the fourth quarter in game one. I was there watching it live. Aaron Wiggins impacts the game on so many levels, and he should be getting all of those Gordon Hayward minutes. So, I mean, I can go into stats. I'm the stat guy on the podcast, apparently. I'm not going to. Aaron Wiggins is my spark of the week.
I like that when we're trying to compliment Gordon Hayward, it sounds like we're looking up the definition of a forward in like Webster's dictionary and trying to describe what that role does in basketball.
He's a human.
Traditional forward.
Well, he's a little bit. Human. He
dribbles the ball. If you look back in the early 2000s at the NBA, Gordon Hayward's his teammates. Image pops up.
We've got a lot of super chats. Super in the comment chat. Tonight. Thank you guys for randomly throwing money at us. That will never get old to me. It's kind of like we're strippers. People are just throwing money at us. All right. I'm into it.
Lord have mercy, I'm about to bust.
Might get more money if you go down that path, buddy.
Rumble is on one tonight. He's fired up after this playoff win.
Unbelievable.
The dogs are barking. My office door. And be right back. I'm going to mute myself.
All right, super chats from Chris Parrish. Sexy win. Love y'all. What more do you need than that right there?
It is hot and sexy and popping.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
So good. We also have another one from Chris. I don't think it'll be a sweep. I think OKC splits. How are we feeling about the trip to NOLA?
That's what I predicted pre-series. So that's what I'm going with. Lose game three, win game four. Close it out in game five. JD, I think you should have to play a different sounder for each time we pull up a super. So what's your sounder for this one?
For this one, how about
the old rag?
Thank you.
Anywho, next up, Alan McIntosh says, Shaq just said on TNT, he thinks OKC makes it to the Western Conference Finals. Said he loves how the team plays. It's amazing to see the team get love.
That man
put a sock in my mouth tonight. Great for him.
Great sounder. Well played. Response. That man will change his tone as soon as the Thunder drop one in New Orleans, and it just makes me sick. But you know, good for Shaq.
Just makes me sick.
Makes me sick.
You can rip Yard that
bird.
That was at 41 minutes. If you want to rip that one, JD.
Hey, do we have any sounders that are JD?
No, we've covered this. My guy doesn't soundboard himself.
We need to make this happen.
Unbelievable.
I have the Lakers Christmas one.
Play that one real quick.
Okay. The Thunder are giving the Lakers a Christmas gift, and it's a pile of shit.
That's an old timer.
I had one that was slightly problematic that I did remove.
That's probably wise.
Yeah.
No, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have one more super chat from Hotspot Casino. We are a complete team, dominated, all caps.
Hey,
Can't disagree.
I was listening to you all while.
What was that sounder you just played?
It was
Big Boys. The Doo Doo Boys.
Doo Doo Boys. Nick Crane.
Incredible.
We haven't really talked about the Thunder's Big Three. We've kind of touched on them individually tonight. Typical StatMuse tweet. The Thunder Trio, Thunder Big Three, 80 points, 65% from the floor, 50% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. If that's not a big three, I don't know what is. So shout out to Hotspot Casino.
It's good. Feels good, man. Team's rolling. Absolutely rolling. I am really curious, like, what adjustments we will see from the Pelicans in game three. Because right now, other than hoping the Thunder miss shots, I'm not sure what it is. Like, I don't see a schematic flaw in OKC's the way they've been playing.
Yeah, it's prayer on the side of the New Orleans Pelicans, I think.
Hope the Thunder eat too many beignets and throw up on the court.
Yeah.
Especially
and, like, missing shots is a very realistic thing that could happen. So, like, that could be a winning strategy.
And then also monitoring those injuries. Obviously, yeah, there was the tweet about CJ McCollum getting checked out before halftime. Because
did you see what happened? I don't know if they showed it on Bally Sports.
No,
they did
no,
it on TNT.
Didn't see it.
He got smacked in the face with a ball. That's all.
Yeah. It's like
Pelicans season in a Pelicans as a franchise in a nutshell.
For what it's worth, it did smack the shit out of him.
It did. He did not look prepared.
Fastball to the face.
Why he got to be Larry attended Nance. To by multiple people, I don't know. But I mean, if you've ever been to a gym in your life, that's happened to you.
Fair. Right. And then Larry Nance Jr. Obviously going out there in the second half. Yep. I believe that he came cool. back, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
But something he something had, minor. Zion's.
I think the Pelicans bench had 6 points tonight. Plays any worse, I'm going to call him Nary Lance.
Check.
All right.
No. They had more than that because Najee Marshall had 10. So they had 14 off the bench.
Najee Marshall had 10.
Still not. Yeah. Oh, wait. Sorry. Yeah. No. That's what my app's telling me.
Good for him. Good for your app.
Good for him.
Good for your app. Let's close out the night by talking about some of the major performers in this game. We've already mentioned a few of them. We've touched on Dort. We've touched on Giddey, like, extensively. We got to talk about Shai. As his teammate proclaimed on TNT, the MVP, don't think he's going to win it. But Shai tonight with, I think, what a lot of people would proclaim as, like, the best Shai defender in the league. Herb Jones guarding him. Shai's line tonight. 33 points, 33 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 13 of 19 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line.
I thought he was a free throw merchant, though, Jacob.
That's what I was about to say. Did not get to the line very frequently. Just busted their ass in every other way possible.
Those threes were loud.
Yeah,
too.
And if Herb and the Pelicans like can't slow him down, someone asked this question. I forget where I heard it from. Is Herb the best defender he will see the rest of the way in the playoffs, regardless of how far they go?
I think so. Who's going to guard him for the Mavericks or the Clippers in the second round? I mean, understand Paul
Clippers
George.
Clippers would be Paul or Kawhi, right? But I think he'd probably choose Herb.
50% yeah. Kawhi, yeah.
Western Conference Finals. Yeah.
Hey, watch out for KCP.
I mean, if it's Minnesota, Jaden McDaniels is good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And I like the way
Drew
Cam
Holiday
in, the,
in
chat.
The finals.
That's what I was going to say. I like the way Cam in the chat's thinking. He said Drew. I think Herb is a very good on-ball defender. I think we hit on this earlier. The way Oklahoma City has attacked that from a scheme standpoint is really intriguing. There may be teams that they face that have more success. Maybe not a better individual defender, but a better game plan to slow down Shai potentially.
Any other Shai thoughts?
He's freaking good, dude.
Superstar.
Good.
It's thought awesome. It was cool when he shot from behind the basket.
It's pretty awesome.
Top tier.
Pretty awesome. Good.
Pretty good basketball player. J-Dub tonight, 21 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, 10 of 17 from the floor, only 1 of 3 from 3. Super efficient night from J-Dub as well. I think I saw he's averaging 26-6 in the playoffs as a second-year player. That tandem just there's nothing the rest of the Pelicans can do against them. It's quite simply, it's just too much. It's just too much.
It's fun to watch the success that we've seen them find in the regular season start to translate to the playoffs. Very small sample size, 2 games in round 1. But I think following this team's journey from last year, making the play-in where they had a really fun, really good game against the Pelicans, and then like a really kind of not great game against Minnesota, where you didn't get to see as much of that flourishing. So getting to have those two off the bat so far feels really validating for them. Feels really awesome to see them get to put that on paper against a solid team, a team that felt like people were like, ooh, the Pelicans might be scary for OKC. Like, so far, they've gone out and taken care of business exactly like a 1 seed should, and not like the youngest team to ever be a 1 seed.
Not only the youngest team to be the number 1 seed in the West, but I was talking about this with some coworkers. My boss is texting me, wanted to shout out my guy, David.
Incredible.
We're just giving out free shout outs.
Give Tiki a bonus for that
promotion,
shout-out.
Please. not just that. We have an awesome, we have a really awesome and close team, and they're always picking my brain on Thunder thoughts. But one thing that keeps being brought up, I was talking about this with one of my close friends on our team before I left the office today. The Thunder aren't only the youngest team in the West, or to get the first seed in the West, they're also the first seed. And what is the most competitive Western Conference? Maybe, I mean, dare I say ever?
No, don't say ever.
I mean,
don't say ever.
You look it up though. So we looked it up. My coworker looked it up when we were talking.
Taylor, there
about
was
this.
A year where the Thunder won 57 games and were like the 5 seed.
Fair. Still an extremely competitive.
It is a
Western
very good
conference.
Western Conference.
And then the Pelicans, I believe they had 49 regular season wins. We looked that up. That would be like 3rd or 4th in the Eastern Conference this season.
Yeah.
Just really puts things into perspective.
Well, hey, speaking of that, just saw an ESPN stat. All of the Thunder's points tonight came from players aged 25 or younger. That is the first time that has happened in NBA playoff history.
Isn't that just like all their players, though?
Yeah. Good thing Gordon Hayward missed his one shot attempt.
All right, good. Touche.
And then we touched on Chet, but 26 points, 9 of 13 from the field. That's incredible. 3 of 6 from 3. Want to see that number go up. Both of those numbers, but attempts specifically. 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, a plus 32. Game high plus 32.
Crazy. He was so good.
Playing Valanciunas off the floor. Like, yes. Again, similar to what we talked about with who can guard Shea? Not that Valanciunas is like the elite center. There's many more challenges that lie ahead for Chet. But again, like this was a matchup that people were like, ooh, I don't know. Valanciunas might be tough for Chet, just like they talked about with Herb and SGA. So to see him come out and perform like this is really validating and really awesome to see him put that on tape in front of the national audience, because I think that's the only way that narrative changes is you got to go out and prove it.
Can I just say it is extremely stupid to say that the narrative for a while was, oh God, how are they going to stop Jonas Valanciunas? He might win him the series. That's
just as dumb as being afraid of a guy named Herbert.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Hey, don't bend over backwards to discredit a very good Thunder team.
That's right.
National media. I know you're all listening to this podcast right now.
I mean, over 1,000 people are right now, so I would assume some of those national media people are.
Maybe
shout out to us.
Needs to tune in and learn something.
No kidding.
Gentlemen, I think that'll do us for the night.
Indeed.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. It is 12:10 a.m. on Thursday, April 25th, and there are currently over 1,100 people in this live stream. That's stupid. Shout out to the degenerates. You guys kick all of the ass. You know we'll be back Saturday, right after game number 3. Then we will be back Sunday for our normally scheduled Sunday night pod that we always do at 9 p.m. Central Time. And then Monday, game 4. Will it be over Monday, boys? Will we be talking about the second round? Who knows? But we will see. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Cannot explain, cannot describe how much we appreciate all of you. I think JD and Taylor and I mentioned it on the Sunday night show. Just how insane it was, how many people came up to us and asked us about the pod or said something about the pod at the game. Record-breaking numbers in the chat tonight, which is just wild. Everyone's fired up about playoff basketball. We are too. You guys enjoy the rest of your week. Just bask in the greatness of what a playoff win is. If I could bottle it up, turn it to a liquid, and store it for later so I could inject it into my veins, I would do it.
That's what Taylor has in his water bottle. That's a little cloudy.
I think so. Enjoy the rest of your week. If you're in Oklahoma, stay safe with some weather coming in over the next couple of days. But Saturday, we'll be back with you guys. Can't wait to see you then. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.